Taking a ride on the Freedom Train podcast series. I'm your host, Joseph Ward, and as always, ride with me is my big homie, Patrick Irvin. He may be a little late today, but shout out to Patrick anyway. Hey, remember, the Freedom Train is brought to you by PAX Inc., and that's PACTSINC. And PAX Inc. is a black development organization aimed at developing the black community through its maximum potential through a focus on education and economics with the traits of hard work, honesty, and integrity. And make sure you visit the website at www.pactsinc.org as you can learn more about the codes of conduct that they created, more about the actual organization, how to become a member, how to donate, how to get involved in community activities. If you hover your mouse over the More tab, you'll see the drop-down box that allows you access to the Learning Center. And peruse the Learning Center from audio to video to books, survival, all different types of things that you can use. So remember, visit www.pactsinc.org where you can get a lot of great information for the development of the black community. And while you're online, make sure you visit our Freedom Train website at www.freedomtrainradio.com. That way you can learn more about myself, Patrick, Enigma September, and all of the shows that we have right here. And you can also get access to our free Freedom Train Network app, which is available for Androids right now and is also in the Google Play Store. So go ahead and visit us and learn more about us. All right, so I'm excited about today's episode of the Freedom Train podcast series because we have a woman who is truly an asset to our community. Outside the box thinking would be an understatement for what she does. She's known as the geriatric tooth fairy, but her name is Miss Sonia Dunbar, and she's a registered dental hygienist with over 25 years of dental experience in private practice, skilled nursing facilities, academia, and marketing as proudly and those are things she's done. She's proudly served her country in the U.S. Navy. For 16 years, she worked in long-term care facilities as both a dental hygienist and providing clinical treatment and as a staff trainer, providing in-service and hands-on training to the staff. And she gives great entertaining seminars, especially when she's talking about dentistry. So she's taking the idea of serving the elderly population as far as dentistry and flipped it on its head, put her magic dust on it since she's a tooth fairy, and she's giving our elders something that they can truly, truly smile about. So I want all of you to get up out of your seat, put your hands together as we welcome Ms. Sonia Dunbar, geriatric tooth fairy. Hey, Ms. Sonia, how are you doing?
I'm amazing, Joseph. Thanks for asking.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you once again. Thank you for being here on the Freedom Train podcast series. And, you know, we're definitely, definitely, definitely excited to have you on. So I want to go ahead and get into our interview so people can learn more about you and we can really, really see how you're blessing our seniors. So first question is, can you give us some background information about yourself and kind of what led up to you becoming who you are, the geriatric tooth fairy?
Yes, thank you for asking. Well, just a little background about myself. I'm originally from Detroit, and I was in the Navy, and I ended up getting stationed in Florida, and that's where we ended up settling. And what really started me with the geriatric tooth fairy was my grandmother. In the summertime, like a lot of us, we had to go stay with our grandmother when school was out or stay with our auntie or uncle. So I would stay with my grandmother, and she and I were very close. And when she got older, she ended up moving from Michigan to Florida with me. And I had to place her in a long-term care facility. I had to place her in a nursing home. And it broke my heart because that's not something I ever wanted to do. I didn't want her to go there, but I couldn't take care of her at home. She had too many comorbidities. She had diabetes. She had high blood pressure, and she had heart disease. And I just couldn't manage it. So I had to put her in a nursing home. It broke my heart. But while she was in a nursing home, I would go every morning and every evening. And I would have breakfast with her, and then I would put her in the, you know, in the evening I'd put her in bed. But she had dentures and teeth. So I would take care of her teeth, you know, because she was in the nursing home. And that was my grandmother. I was a dental hygienist. Well, my grandmother would always ask me. She had oxygen on her back because she had heart problems. She would ask me to bring her cigarettes. And I was like, Grandmother, I'm not bringing any cigarettes up here. You can't breathe. You got oxygen on. You're going to blow up the place. I'm not bringing you any cigarettes. But I started noticing when I would go see her that I was not only cleaning her teeth, it was her roommate. Then it was the people in the bedroom next to her. And after a couple of weeks, every evening when I came, it was a line of wheelchairs outside her door of people wanting me just to simply brush their teeth and clean their dentures because it wasn't being done. But Joseph, this is the funny part. I couldn't find my grandmother. I was so busy doing everyone else, I didn't see her. She was telling people, if you want your teeth clean, give me two cigarettes, and my granddaughter would clean your teeth. So she was actually kind of pimping me out to get her her cigarettes. So I was end up taking care of the resident teeth. Eventually, my grandmother expired, but I then knew that oral care was needed in the nursing home. So I guess I could say this all started because of my grandmother and me wanting to honor her, and then I seen the need there, and I continued it. So that's how the geriatric tooth fairy idea came into my mind.
Okay, so before you became the geriatric tooth fairy, as far as just dentistry, period, because you say you were going to clean your grandmother's teeth, and then you ended up cleaning other teeth of other people. So how did you get your start in dentistry? How did that happen?
You know what? I've always, even when I was in school, I always felt that a smile was something that was free and that you can give away. It doesn't hurt to give away a smile. And it makes, if you smile at someone long enough, if they're not just ultimately evil, they'll smile back at you. And a lot of times it makes people feel better. So to me, a smile was important. So I always wanted to be a part of making people smile better. From a child, I smile all the time because it takes less muscles to smile than it does to frown. And smiling makes you feel better. It's sunshine for your face. So I like to smile, and I like to help people smile through oral care and through cleaning people's teeth. So that's what eventually started me as a dentistry. Just wanting to make people smile because it's free. It's something that you can give away and keep at the same time.
Yes, it is. Definitely, it definitely is. And now that's interesting because a smile is free and it is easy to smile. And I know a lot of the neighborhoods that I grew up in, still a lot of the neighborhoods that I exist in, oral care is not something that's top priority for a lot of people within the community, especially the elderly population. So a lot of people go crazy when they see a person in their 70s or 80s who still have a great smile. So, yeah, I definitely understand what you're saying. So 25 years of experience, of dental experience specifically, can you tell us about your journey through the world of dentistry and how your background in dentistry prepared you to become the geriatric tooth fairy?
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, started out as a dental hygienist. I started out in private practice. I worked for one of the best dentists in Jacksonville, Florida. He is a legend in his own time, and he was a great motivator. He would always tell me, are you just going to always be a tooth cleaner? You're always going to be a tooth cleaner. So he always put the entrepreneur spirit in me as a boss. He always pushed me while I was working for him to do more. So I started working for him. Then I started working with the military base. I got contracted with the military base, and then I worked in Job Corps, which was one of my favorite places to work because I was able to influence a lot of the young people, catching them at a young age to take care of their mouths, because the young people in Job Corps, they're in between space. So I was able to not only be a mentor there, but also help them with their smile and teach them how the importance of taking care of their mouth at an early age. So that was an epic experience. And then I started with marketing. I started with a company where I started doing marketing, and this is how God or things line up for people. I was with a company doing their marketing in nursing homes, and I was working at 110% for them. And then I got let go. So at that point, I was at a crossroads, and I thank God for having an amazing husband because he supported me. I was like, well, do I get another job or do I launch out on my own? And at that space of my decision, having a strong black man behind me, he propelled me and encouraged me to launch, and then we launched. And this is where we are today. Sometimes we get put in uncomfortable situations, but that helped us move. And that was my goal. That was my goal, and that's what started it, and that's my journey through dentistry.
Right. So what do you think was the thing that kind of helped you and your husband have the courage to really face that adversity or that change to see that, okay, you need to do this on your own. You need to create your own platform. And because, you know, everybody goes through that point where they are a little nervous or you know, unsure about the next move because it's something new. So what do you think helped the both of you get over that hump to really believe in what you had to move forward?
Well, let me tell you, we both are put in a peculiar situation now. I'm going to give you a little teeny background here. Now, the geriatric tooth fairy, she is the mouthpiece. But my husband and I also own a mobile dental company. So not only are we talking about it, we're being about it. We actually go into nursing homes with a whole dental team, and we actually take care of residents' teeth in the nursing home. We do dentures, extractions, partial fillings right on site. So everything that you see in a dental office, we actually take in a nursing home. So we own a mobile dental company, and we provide oral care in mobile dentistry in the nursing homes. But what made us do what the thing that made us launch was, and I would say this would help us. My husband had a full-time job, and I was working with the company. 3 years before that, we started planning our own business. So I'm a firm believer in doing your job during the day and working your own vision at night. So
yes,
we
would
work it out in the evening. We would work it out. And we'd work our business. And our business was off, even though we work full-time jobs during the day, and we're 100% workers. When I was working for that company, I was traveling in 5 states. I was the lead marketing over 5 states, and I was giving them 110%. But if I gave them 110, I gave my business above 50. I gave my business 150 in the evening. And my husband was the same way. So we just didn't jump out there. We worked our business. We worked our business, and we didn't get a lot of sleep. So then when they fired me, my business was little. We didn't have a lot. We didn't have a lot invested in it. We didn't have a lot of equipment, but I did have it. It wasn't even making any money, but I had it because we were preparing for it. So I never encourage people to say, I'm going to leave my job and start a business. So let me tell you how stuff works and how God launched us. So when I got fired, a few months later, my husband was forced to leave his job.
Right.
He was forced into retirement. So I was like, oh, wow. So we were both out here with no income but our baby business. So when you don't have nothing, if all you need to do is breathe, and this business is how you're going to breathe or eat, we were able to both put everything we had into it and push it. And that's how it grew. That's how our baby grew. And we would call it our baby. When we went to work during the day, we'd be like, "Well, baby, what we gonna do for our baby at night?" Well, baby, I'll call and line up some places to call and try to do marketing. Then he would say, "Well, I'm gonna try to organize the books." And so we worked on our baby in the evening. So then we had to depend on that baby to feed us.
Right.
So yeah, we So I would tell anybody to prepare as you go. Don't just launch out there. I think that's what people make a mistake. They just jump. No, just don't jump. Be prepared for that jump because you will fall and hit the ground and be homeless somewhere. But just, right. You know what I'm saying? I tell people to prepare for the jump.
Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm glad you said that. I'm glad you said prepare for the jump because often we hear jump, 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 jump. But I like the way you put it out because there you still have to have a plan. You still have to be calculating what you're doing and not just just doing things, but also believing in yourself and working on, you know, I tell people all the time, you know, I get off at 6, but I go to bed at 12.
There you
I
go.
I still got other things to do. So, yes, ma'am. I
like
definitely
that.
Understand. I understand working on your dream when you get home. So, let's talk about oral care in the geriatric population. So, and I'm not that familiar with any issues of oral care in the elderly population, but because you exist, they got me to think, well, it has to be some things out here that we don't know about. Otherwise, you wouldn't have had a need to exist. You actually have a need to exist. So is there a lack of oral care for the geriatric population? And if so, what are the issues that bother the geriatric population? And what do we need to know or can you bring more light to the situation, to the issues that the geriatric population are facing when it comes to oral care?
Absolutely. Joseph, let me tell you. I'm trying to get every platform I can. If I could clamp to Mount Everest and scream it so everybody can hear it. I work in nursing homes. Mm-hmm. First of all, a lot of people on this phone or listening to this on their phone or on their podcast or whatever, they probably don't even know the nursing home that's near their community. There's every community has so many nursing homes, and a lot of people probably don't even know their local nursing home. As Americans, we take our older people and throw them away and act like they're not there. Mm-hmm. And I want to be their voice. But let me tell you, I go into nursing homes every day, and I see elderly people who haven't had their teeth brushed in months. I went in because the oral care in nursing homes are deplorable. It's just deplorable. They're not getting the oral care that they need. I went into one nursing home. I walked in. The administrator said, "Hey, Sonia, there's a lady that's been here 4 months, and she has a mouth odor, and she won't let anybody in her mouth." I said, "Okay, she's new, so let me clean everybody up that I already see. My team was there with me, and we'll check her out before we leave." It was a lady. She had a very thick accent. African-American lady, I would take this to my grave and remember this. And I went to her, and it took me about, I think she was from Guyana. So she liked that accent. I couldn't get her to I couldn't understand her, but it took me about 10 minutes to get her to open to talk to me. Then I got her to open her mouth. And when I looked at her mouth, I said, "It looks like she has dentures." And it took me another 15 minutes to put my gloves on to get in her mouth.
Right.
Joseph, when I went in her mouth, it was dentures. I took mm-hmm. the denture out. Now, mind you not, I said she had been there 4 months. The dentures hadn't right. been removed. They had black mold on them. The smell was coming from her denture.
Right.
And when I took them out, it was black mold on it. So think about this. She had been there 4 months. Nobody had even brushed her teeth or even removed her denture to clean it. Every time she eat or drink, she was swallowing that mold and bacteria
right.
in her mouth.
Right.
She was swallowing that in her body. And think about this, Joseph. The biggest part of your body that's open, that bacteria can get in, is your mouth. You know,
right.
your nose and your eyes and your ears. But the mouth is the biggest part where germs can get into your body. So if her back, if no one's brushing the elderly people's teeth, everything, they're swallowing that bad bacteria, it's affecting everything in their body.
Right.
So we go every month to nursing homes. Sometimes, and we clean the people's teeth. We come back the next month. Some of the same people the month before, no one's touched their mouth since we had been there. So the oral care in nursing homes is deplorable. Now, I'm not going to throw all nursing homes under the bus. Some of them have good oral care with their staff, with the residents, but not all of them do. So what I'm trying to do is, one, educate seniors before they get into nursing homes to take care of their teeth, and to educate the people in the nursing homes and the staff, because a lot of times people in the nursing homes, they can't even brush their own teeth. They're dependent on someone to do that, and it's not getting done. They have cavities. The cavities aren't getting fixed. The oral care is deplorable, and it's killing them. It's killing them.
Right, right. Wow. So did the lady with the dentures, does she have any other health issues from swallowing the mold?
Oh, okay. I'm glad you asked me that, too. Listen, I have something called the ABCs of poor oral care. Poor oral care is directly the bacteria in your mouth is directly linked to Alzheimer's. I think it was John Hopkins. They dissected so many people with Alzheimer's disease. They dissected their brain. When they dissected their brain after they died, they found bacteria from gum disease from poor oral care, and they took back tissues from people with Alzheimer's disease that are alive, and that same bacteria was found in their brain. So poor oral care is directly linked to Alzheimer's. So that's something the young people can learn. That, listen, take care of your teeth so when you get older, you don't have that disease. Poor oral care is also linked to high blood pressure, heart disease, diabetes, MRSA, pneumonia, strokes, and arthritis. It affects your whole body. Think about it like this, Joseph. When you go to the doctor, he look in your eyes and he tell you to stick out your tongue.
Right.
People can tell your health from your tongue and your mouth. A lot of people don't even take care of their tongue. They don't even clean their tongue, and that's a whole different story. But there's so many diseases that's totally linked to poor oral care, and those are just a few that I named. So, yes, that's why I said it's killing them. They're swallowing that bacteria in, and it's actually killing our older people. Let me give you a great example. There's something called aspirated pneumonia, when people who have a lot of plaque and debris on their teeth. Imagine a person in a wheelchair. You and I, we walk around. We walk around, our lungs open and close. But imagine a person who hasn't had their teeth cleaned. They have all this bacteria in their mouth, and they're in a wheelchair, and they're inhaling all that bacteria. It's sitting in their lungs, and pneumonia is growing. And then majority of the people that are in nursing homes end up going into hospital because of pneumonia, and that's directly linked to the mouth. And a lot of times it ends up killing them. So this is why I'm screaming for them, because no one's speaking for them, and it's an issue to my heart, Joseph. It hurts me because that could have been my grandmother, and if God blesses us to live, one day it could be us.
Right. So we have to be knowledgeable about it now and take action now. So, So you helped my transition, because aspirated pneumonia is something is what I want to go into. And so basically you are saying that this – is there a specific bacteria or over a specific time or something that – that you're aware of that leads directly to aspirated pneumonia? And, like, is that different from, like, the regular pneumonia people would come down with?
Aspirated pneumonia is just – aspirate means to inhale, inhaled. So aspirated pneumonia is just inhaled pneumonia. That's what it's known.
Okay.
Like, you breathe in. So a lot of times if people have tracheotraches in their throat and that's not being cleaned, or, like I said, if that bacteria is in their mouth, and they breathe it in. Another big one is people who sleep in dentures. If a person sleeps in dentures and they snoring, and when you sleep, you breathe deeper. And when they breathe in, that bacteria gets into their lungs. So it just breathes in. And that's why oral care is so big in nursing homes, because they breathe that bacteria into their lungs. Does that make sense? So that's why I call aspirated pneumonia. There is a bacteria that's in the it is a bacteria that's in the plaque that causes pneumonia in the lungs. It's a really long name and I can't say it, but it's directly linked to it. And that's why aspirated pneumonia is so prevalent in nursing home residents. That sends more nursing home residents to the hospital than any other sicknesses that they have. So that's why that's a big deal.
Wow. And what's interesting though is we never hear about elderly people being rushed to hospitals or the reason why. And so you're saying aspirated pneumonia is one of the main reasons why elderly people get.
Of the biggest reasons why they end up in the
right.
hospital is from aspirated pneumonia long-term care, from nursing homes.
Right. All right. Because I've heard about poor care in nursing homes for a while. Like you said earlier, and I want to utter this as well. This is not every nursing home, so we're not saying all nursing homes, but the ones who, if the shoe fits, then these are the ones. But so what can people do to try to help the elderly within these nursing homes? Because if we keep hearing these things, and especially like you're saying, oral care is at the bottom of the list, and they're allowing people to go months without even changing their dentures out, which is causing more bad, bad effects to oral health. What can people do to help the elderly within these situations?
Well, let me give you a quick little background on that. Now, in the nursing homes, most of the people who take care of, that they have the direct personal care for the elderly are the CNAs, the Certified Nursing Assistants. And a lot of them, I'm going to be honest with you, they're overworked. And the underpaid. And let me just take you into their world a little bit. Imagine if you're a CNA, you're not making a whole bunch of money, and you have to have maybe, let's say, 8 adults dressed and ready for breakfast in maybe 2 hours.
Right.
So you got an elderly person that may bite you, you know, because a lot of times the elderly people, they have dementia, and they don't come easy. They don't let you work with them easy because they're adults, and they give you problems. So out of the 8, you may have 3 that's resistant. So if you could just get their clothes on and get them to the table, and they don't, and you have 4 more people, you might say, well, I'm not going to brush her teeth today. Or some of the people in there who do the care, they may not have the best oral care. So if you're not taking care of your own teeth, how are you going to take care of somebody else's?
Right.
Does that make sense? So the answer to your question, what we can do as a community, is volunteering in a nursing home, because the squeaky wheel gets the oil. Now, go in the nursing homes, go see the people. I have developed 2 things. One called the SOS program, where people can buy a package. They can sponsor a senior, and that senior will get enough toothbrushes, tongue cleaners, and flossers that can be used on them for 6 months. That way, and they have accountability card where the CNA has to check off where they brush the resident's teeth. That way, that is attention put on that person and oral care is being done. Also, I have what I call the geriatric tooth fairy toolkit, where I go into the nursing homes and I train the staff on how to take care of the resident's teeth. But here's the thing. It's such a high turnover in there, I have to keep going in and keep training the staff. But the more people get on the bandwagon and just pay attention to the nursing homes in your area. Go visit people. If people think and someone's looking at the people, it will make a difference. And if
right.
you know of a nursing home, refer them to me or someone in my team can go out and train the staff. You know, a lot of this stuff, Joseph, I'm going to be honest, I don't get paid for this. I don't get paid to go and train the staff. I don't, but it's important to me if I train the staff, if that helps save 2 seniors from going into the hospital with pneumonia. Because imagine an 85-year-old woman with pneumonia. She can't breathe. Who wants somebody,
right.
your grandmother or your great-grandmother, 85, in the hospital, can't breathe? They're already frail. This is a quality of life. These are Americans that were worse, doctors and teachers and lawyers and our mothers. So I just don't want them thrown away and forgotten
yes.
and neglected. Does that make sense?
Now that does make sense. We can't call ourselves a civilized society if we are neglecting our elderly.
Exactly.
I mean, and, it's kind of, and to me, it's a sign of disrespect as well for those who paved the way for us to be where we are, and we just
Absolutely.
Throw them away because
Absolutely.
It's looked at as an inconvenience. That's unfortunate, and we're not as civilized as we think we are. You know?
And I'm gonna put this out here, Joseph. Just like schools in certain areas, you're gonna be able to understand this. Schools in certain areas have better computers, they have better books, they have better equipment for the students. Is that correct?
Correct.
That's the same with the nursing homes. Nursing homes in certain areas The people may get their teeth brushed, but the nursing homes in certain areas, they don't. And it hurts me. A lot of those areas, the people look like me.
Yes,
and I,
ma'am.
No.
Yes, ma'am. I don't blame you. So, yeah, we have to make sure we join the fight with you. So, well, just real quick, how can, and I'll ask you again, but how can people contact you? What's the best way people can contact you so they can invite you out to the local nursing homes to be able to give you trainings and give you information and possibly cleanings and things?
Absolutely. It's geriatrictoothfairy.com. That's the best way to go to my website, geriatrictoothfairy.com, or they can call me directly at 904-803-3297. But the best way is to go to my website and go ahead and I have information in there that they can fill in. And if they know a nursing home, just refer it to me. I'll go in there and I'll speak to the people. As a matter of fact, my mobile dental company, we're currently in Georgia and Florida working in the nursing homes, cleaning the residents' teeth. And it doesn't cost the residents anything. It doesn't cost the residents anything. So if there's anyone who knows a nursing home administrator or knows of a nursing home, go to my website, put that information in. If I can come out to speak to the staff as a geriatric tooth fairy, or I can come and provide the dental services to the facility.
Okay. Remember, geriatrictoothfairy.com.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So I want to get into the specifics as far as oral issues, like specific, because we talked about the result of the issues or the long-term problems that can come from the issues. And I know we zeroed in on the mold and the dentures of the one lady, but what are the leading oral problems or diseases that you see the most when you're going out doing your cleanings? And what specific, and are these issues specific to the black population, or you see them mostly in black populations, or do you see it something that some of these issues can be found in across the border, across the different races?
Thanks for asking. Okay, so for all issues, like I say, the bacteria in the mouth, it affects the whole body. So the plaque in the mouth, the gum disease is the issue. Because one, it makes the people lose their teeth. But if they have gum disease, like I said, it affects the heart and causes bacteria endocarditis in the heart, which leads to heart disease. It causes high blood pressure. It causes strokes. It affects with rheumatoid arthritis. And like I said, diabetes and aspirated pneumonia. Also, the bacteria in the mouth has been known to cause MRSA. Now, to answer the second part of your question about is it mostly in one race or another, I say if it's a nursing home who does not have proper oral care in there, it affects everybody that's in a nursing home, whether they be African American, Indian, white, or whatever. If they're not doing proper oral care, it affects everyone in the facility. Now, like I said earlier, some areas tend to have a little more money, and they put more into their staffing, and maybe those people may get a little more attention than in other areas. But for the majority of the cases, if it's a nursing home who, if they don't typically have proper oral care, it affects everyone in there. Yes, everyone in there, regardless of their race.
Right. So, I just want to kind of clear some things up in my head, and hopefully other people have these questions. How long does a pair of dentures have to sit in a person's mouth before it develops mold?
You know what? I'm going to tell you something. That lady was new to that facility. It's no telling how long those dentures have been sitting in her mouth. But I'm going to tell you this. After we brush our teeth, as soon as we brush our teeth, plaque is a normal part of our mouth. It's normal. It's a normal part of your mouth. So it takes, so as soon as you brush your teeth, plaque started growing right back on your teeth. So that's why we text people to brush twice a day. So for that lady to have mold on her teeth, those dentures probably have been in her mouth probably 4 or 5 months.
Okay.
Easy. And like I said, I've gone into nursing homes that I've never visited. And let me just plug this in. Baby boomers, which are people over 65, that's the oldest, that's the fastest growing population. They're growing faster than young people because of all the medical and medicine. Older people are living longer, and I just want to dismiss this idea. A lot of the people in the nursing homes have teeth. I see more people with teeth than with dentures. They may have partials in there, but a lot of people have teeth. So I don't want people to think that everybody in the nursing home have dentures. We clean a lot of teeth. Some of them don't have a whole head full of teeth. They're missing teeth, but they have teeth. And a lot of them have a lot of plaque and debris and buildup on their teeth. So that's a big thing. That's a big thing. And there's something else I want to plug in there, too, while we're talking about the mouth and the oral cavity, because you asked about diseases. A lot of older people have a problem swallowing as they age. So, and they take a lot of pills, and their medicine get crushed. So a lot of times we see people with coated tongues. Some of their tongues are coated white and black. And your tongue is how you taste your food. That's actually how you taste your food. So if the people in the nursing home, if their tongue is coated because they're swallowing, that they're eating their medicine and no one's cleaning their tongue, that they can't even taste their food properly. So that, again, affects the quality of life. I wonder how many people listening that are young people even ever clean their tongue. People may say, yeah, I clean my tongue with my toothbrush. You're supposed to have a tongue cleaner to clean the bacteria off your tongue, because a lot of people with bad breath comes from the tongue, because it's got a lot of bacteria. I think it was a study done at Johns Hopkins. There are like over 850 bacteria that live on their tongue. People's tongue's supposed to be healthy and pink. If your tongue is coated in white, you need to clean that.
So you're saying you shouldn't use your toothbrush to clean your tongue?
Well, think about it like this, Joseph. If you brushing your teeth with the same toothbrush and you cleaning your teeth with that brush, and then you brushing the same dirty toothbrush over your tongue, or say you use your tongue first, clean all that stuff off your tongue, and then put the same brush on your teeth. That's kind of like taking a shower and putting on the same, you know what I'm saying?
Okay,
so
right.
I tell people now, some toothbrushes have the little thing on the back of it. Use that. But we use, every time we go in a nursing home, we take this tongue cleaner. For every person, they got their own tongue cleaner, and we leave it with them. But we clean their tongue. They sell them at the dollar store. If you scrape your tongue, you'll be surprised what'll come off your tongue. I have a YouTube video. Go on my YouTube video, Geriatric Tooth Fairy, about cleaning tongue. Tongue cleaning by the Geriatric Tooth Fairy. A lot of people, and you know what? That tongue is dirty. I'm just going to leave it right there. That tongue is dirty. We need to keep our tongue clean.
Right. So just one more question about it. So, like, because I do clean my tongue. I be in the mirror because I do have a toothbrush with this tongue scraper on the back. But I'm about to switch it up talking to you, make sure I have me something else that I use to clean my tongue specifically. But I do have the scrape on the back of it. But how far deep back? Because, you know, some people with gag reflexes and things like that. So how far back on your tongue is it? Should you be cleaning and is it healthy? And then if some people do have the gag reflexes, how can they kind of get around that to be able to clean back deep on their tongue?
Okay, first of all, I tell people to go back as far as comfortable for them. Don't gag and don't hurt yourself. You know what I'm saying? But think about it like this. When people brush their tongue, they kind of be massaging that bacteria in. That's why I say it's tongue scraper, because if you watch my video, you can actually scrape that stuff out of your mouth. It doesn't hurt.
But when
you brush it, you just kind of brushing it in. You need to pull that out. And, you know, if you take a spoon, I tell people to do this, take a spoon and just stick your tongue out and pull it down on it. You'll be surprised that white stuff that come off your tongue. It's not good. And your tongue has little crevices in it. So that'd be little pieces of food and stuff or whatever you do it, it'd be in those little crevices. Yeah, the tongue is pretty nasty. So and that affects how you taste your food. So I don't tell people just to go back as comfortable as they can with the tongue cleaner. But I tell you, go to Google Geriatric Tooth Fairy, how to clean your tongue. I have a video on there about that. and it talks about it, and it shows different type of tongue cleaners on there, and it makes your breath smell better, and your mouth is cleaner. And I tell you this, I tell people who don't clean your tongue, think about it. You brush your teeth outside and inside, but you close your mouth with that same dirty tongue in there. So like I said, that's like taking a shower and putting on the same dirty clothes. Because you're just rubbing your tongue around. If your tongue is dirty, you're rubbing them on clean teeth. Does that make sense?
That makes sense. That makes a whole lot of sense.
So I'm glad that you're concerned about your oral hygiene, Joseph. But if you use the back of your brush, if not, you can go to any store and just get a tongue scrape. I like the tongue cleaner because I don't like bristles. I don't like the bristles because the bristles can hold back, you know. So I just like to be able to scrape my tongue and kind of get that off. You know what I'm saying? But like I said, go to Jerry X the Tooth Fairy. You Google it on YouTube, Jerry X the Tooth Fairy, how to clean your tongue. And if you do, please subscribe. But also, I got a good video on why I don't like people using a toothbrush, why I like tongue scrapers. And I'm not promoting any tongue scraper because I don't sell it. I just want us to be healthy. Does that make sense? People, period.
That makes sense. That makes a lot of sense. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Now, you definitely gave a lot of good information on that. I appreciate that. So outside of cleaning the tongue, or I should say in addition to cleaning the tongue, what other tips would you give us, oral health tips can you give us to make sure that we maintain good oral health as we age and as we move through life?
One thing I want to tell people is just do this. Always, 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 if you have dentures, take your dentures out at night. Never sleep in them. Never sleep in them. Because, like I said, that can cause aspirated pneumonia. Also, I would tell people, go to the dentist. You know, I don't know why people be afraid to go to, but go to the dentist. But try to go twice a year. Brush your teeth and floss them. I tell people, floss the teeth you want to keep, because brushing don't get in between your teeth, and that's where that bacteria grows. Now, my husband, he don't like that string stuff. And I tell people, go get those little picks, the little with the string on one end and two picks on. Men like that. And go in between your teeth. That I tell people to floss the teeth you want to keep, because I promise you, the ones you don't want, don't floss them, they're going to come out. So floss your teeth. If you don't like to do the string, use those little picks. I personally use a water pick. I like that. So I tell people, brush your teeth. Try to brush twice a day. And let me give you just a little tip. Two tips I want to give you. One, if you get a cold, throw away your toothbrush.
Right.
Go to the dollar store and get disposable brushes. Get that pack of four for a dollar. Every day use a different toothbrush. Because if you got a cold and you keep brushing your teeth and you keep reinfecting yourself, that's what makes people keep cold so long. So if you get sick, get a lot of little disposable toothbrushes and brush and throw that toothbrush away. Don't get expensive one. And then when you get over your cold, then you can go back to using one regular toothbrush. But if you know what I'm saying, the second tip that I would like to give people is always, 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 if you don't brush but once a day, if you're one of them people, I'm only going to brush once a day, brush at night. Let me tell you why. Everything you eat, drink, smoke all day is in your mouth. So if you brush in the morning, you eat, drink, smoke, and do everything you're going to do with your mouth all day, then you go to bed and close your mouth. That's a warm, moist, dark environment. That's where bacteria grow. Any little piece of chicken you ate, that's flesh that's stuck in your teeth, rot. Because chicken is flesh. So if a little piece of chicken in the back of your mouth that you didn't floss out or brush out, it's in your mouth rot. That's why people have morning stank breath. Because that's like, let me give you an analogy. Say, for instance, we in Florida, you put some chicken in the oven all day, and it's hot. Your house gone, the house hot, everything hot, you ain't got the air on in August. You come in the house, that's going to stink. You open that oven and go, ooh, that's not no good. And that's what I'm out. So I tell people, if you want to know one time a day brusher, brush at night. And in the morning, your mouth will be fresher. Because at least you've got those bacteria out to stop. And figure if you eat some candy, that little piece of, let's say, a Skittle is stuck in your teeth. That sugar is eating away at that tooth, giving you a cavity all night. It got how many hours you sleep, that's how long it's working. Because bacteria don't sleep nor slumber. they working perpetually.
Right.
So
right.
If I chose those two nuggets, if you get sick, change your brush daily, and two, brush your teeth. And if you're only going to brush once a day, which I don't recommend, make it at night. So that at least you can stop some of that growth overnight, because that film that you feel on your teeth in the morning is bacteria that grew overnight. So if you brush at night, you at least reduce that. So imagine our seniors not getting their teeth brushed day nor night for many days. How they feel.
Right. So you used a water toothpick, a water pick.
Yeah, I use a water pick.
So what exactly is that, and how does that work
Joseph, I love it. It's a water pick. They're not paying me, so I ain't going to sponsor nobody's name. But, but it's a water pick, and if you want to know, I'll tell you mine. But all you do is it's got a little pick on the end, and I put water in mine and a little bit of Listerine, and I go around each tooth after I brush. And that flosses for me because it sprays out water. And sometimes I put a little cap full of peroxide in there to make my teeth a little white and get rid of some bacteria. And I do that every day. Yeah, I do that every day.
Okay.
I brush my teeth and I do that every day.
It gets between the teeth and everything?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. There's some of them called water picks or water flossers. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But have me go to Walmart as soon as we get through with this and go to Walmart and get me one.
But now, I'm going to tell you, if you're a flosser, don't stop flossing. If you like the flosser, keep continuing. If you're flossing, you're doing good. If you're flossing, you're doing good. I don't encourage people, but that just works for me. You know,
right,
I like that, especially if someone had bridge work or some crown that cleans around that really good where floss can't get. I have an implant. It gets around that good. So I'm just very meticulous about my oral care. Yeah.
No, I understand. But as you were saying it, though, for me, the reason why I was saying I would go get it because it seemed like it would be easier for me to get between my back teeth because there's not a lot of room back there. And sometimes when it's hard for me to get floss in between us sometimes. So it seemed like it'll be something that could really help to ensure
they
that
help.
I get that. Okay.
And let me tell you a little secret about that.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people have a problem getting to their back teeth because they open their mouth real wide. Don't open your mouth real wide because when you open the mouth real wide, it's stretched and you can't get back there. Open your mouth a little bit, just enough, and then you'll be able to get all the way back there. Don't, because people be opening their mouth real wide and trying to flock and your jaw be tight.
Right.
Just relax
right.
your jaw and don't open your mouth wide. You'll be able to get back there. But I like the water pick and go back there, zoom, zoom, zoom. I go around every one of my teeth twice. Then I hit the front of them, zoom, 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 so they can be bright. And boom, look on my pictures. They're bright white and they look good.
Yes, ma'am. I like that. I definitely appreciate that. Yes, ma'am. So, you just dropping all type of gems, but I definitely appreciate you with not just your knowledge, but your enthusiasm about it because you love what you do, and there's nothing better than having somebody who is real passionate about their work and passionate about making sure that the members of our community are healthy enough to thrive. I appreciate you.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. So. In addition to your dental work and you being the geriatric tooth fairy, you are also an author, and you wrote the book Golden Nuggets for Life, and that book actually came out in 2018. So could you tell us about the book and why you decided to write Golden Nuggets for Life?
Absolutely. So let me tell you, every time I went to the nursing home, the older people, because they don't get a lot of visits, they was waiting on me. And you can't really rush no old person. So while I was actually doing clinical work and working in a nursing home, they would talk to me and tell me a lot of stories. They would tell me their life. They would tell me why they're here, how they ended up here. One lady told me she was 85 years old. She said, baby, and she talked real good. She was in a wheelchair. African-American lady, I'll never forget her. She's expired now. She said, baby, I have four daughters, and they're all principals at schools here in Jacksonville. They all are educated, graduated from college, and she was bragging on them. She said, and we have a house, and she's telling me what the house was, and she said, my husband died last year, And she said, for Christmas, just to honor him, I was out trying to hang out my life like he did every year. She said, and I fell and broke my hip. That's how a lot of people end up in nursing homes. She said, but when my husband was alive and my daughters were young, he said, they never went to daycare. I was a stay-home mother. They had a hot breakfast every morning. I went to school events, and I cooked them dinner every night, and we ate as a family. She said, they never went to daycare. She said, so why, when I'm old, they put me in daycare?
Right.
That touched my heart. So I put that story in my book. My thing is, my favorite book is, one of my favorite books was Chicken Soup for the Soul because it was short stories. So my book is little short stories that people told me. One of the nursing home I went in, South Florida, it was a man 92 years old. I was about to work on him really quick, and his daughter said, she was bragging on him. My daddy is a CEO of this company. He was a millionaire, da-da-da. And I said, well, man, you 90-something. He's like 90, 98. And I always ask people that age, can you tell me what is the most important thing you learned being 98 years old in life? He said, never trust a black person. But he didn't say that word. He said, never trust a black person. And the only good, only thing they're good for is to work for you. I said, thank you, sir. I did an about face and marched out the room. The daughter turned beet red and came out. She said, I'm so sorry for my dad. I'm so sorry. I said, no problem, but I can't service him today, ma'am. But I put that story in the book. And I'm going into more details, but it's 28 short stories because I have some great history stories that people told me, some stuff that'll make you cry, some stuff that'll make you laugh. And so I just didn't want those stories to die with those people. And I'm working on part two because now that people have read the book, they're sending me their stories. And I'm also working on a book, The Geriatric for Little Kids, get them linked to not being afraid of older people. One little boy said he went to see his grandmother in the nursing home and everybody was riding big wheels. So he was about years old. So, but that's what made me write Golden Nuggets for Life, because I just didn't want, some people told me a lot of wise things, a lot of things happened. So I just wanted to give people a glimpse inside of some of the stories that's in nursing homes. Does that make sense?
Yes, ma'am. It makes a great deal of sense. I mean, you have to capture these stories and these different things that people have gone through and all this wisdom that our elders have. We have to capture that information and make sure we pass it down. So.
Absolutely.
Yes, ma'am. So out of all of your time as an author, as a dentist, as a geriatric tooth fairy, as a motivator and encourager, a wife, a woman, what has been the greatest lesson or lessons that you've learned thus far, you know, on your path as a dentist, as an entrepreneur, as a whole person, and how have you grown from those lessons? How have you grown from learning those lessons and overcoming those obstacles or whatever the situation calls for?
You know what I learned? And I turned 50 this year, so I'm a senior. I'm in the geriatric population right now. What I learned is, and it took me some time to get this, what I learned is there's no ceiling but the ones we place in our mind. There's no ceiling but the ones we place in our mind. Now, I'm not saying that I could climb a mountain, Mount Everest, but what I mean, the lesson I learned is don't put a cap on what you can do. Don't limit your own ability. Does that make sense?
Right.
So don't say I the word I can't makes me cringe.
Right.
So if it had to be one lesson that I've learned, and my husband helped me with that, if I put my mind to it and I put my energy in doing it, and I stay focused, then it can be done. Now, it may not be done the way I wanted to. The way I wanted to start my business didn't happen that way. I wanted to just to blow up and then get my letter of resignation. It wasn't pretty. But I kept doing it, and I kept trying. So that's my lesson. Don't put a cap on yourself. Don't say, I can't do this. Don't take it out. Just keep trying, keep doing it, and you'll make it. It may not come the way we see it, but it's going to come. I think one of the things you asked me to think about was if what would be if I had a superpower with black people. Mm-hmm. The superpower would be to take the caps off of us. Because nobody have us capped. Just take the caps off of ourselves. And we'll figure it out. Because we're those people that can figure stuff out. So don't cap it. That's how I feel. And then attitude is everything. Attitude is everything. That's those are the two things I learned. I mean, you can have a negative attitude and it's not going to work. But if you have a positive attitude and you put the work in it, I'm not just saying just attitude. You got to put the work in it. You got to put some skin in the game, a whole bunch of it. Some tears, some sleepless nights, some hard work, and all of that. You're gonna lose. You're gonna lose a lot of friends if you want to be an entrepreneur because it's lonely at the top. But only the cream rises to the top, baby. And I'm up there with all the cream. That's where I'm trying to go. But it's my story, and I promise I'm going to stick with
it. Yes, ma'am. My, growing up, my mom used to always say, can't die because he said he couldn't. So now, you know, as a youngster, we didn't really get it. It sounded good, but we didn't really get it. So growing up, you know, because we, at times, we got more troubled. So I got yelled at more for saying can't than actual saying curse words in the house sometimes. But I didn't get that then. Now I get it. Being an entrepreneur, being somebody in this world who's working, changed my life and the life of others, I get it. When you say you can't, you die. When you say you can, you add energy to your life. So I'm definitely with you. So now, another thing. We appreciate your preparedness for this interview. So, because our question that we ask everybody, you already kind of went into it, you know, if you were the all-powerful ruler, you know, making sure that people getting themselves together. So, I just want to ask the second part of that. You know, if you were the all-powerful ruler of Black America, you already said what you would change, but what would your message to the people be?
As it relates to oral care?
Well, just not necessarily oral care, just overall, just being able to exist in this world and moving forward to make sure that we become empowered and just change things for the better for ourselves.
If I could just have a magic wand for all people that look like me, if I had to give them a message with that wand, the message I would give is attitude. Let's just adjust our attitude because some situations we cannot change.
Right.
And we have to learn how to control the controllables. But when we can change it, but with the right attitude. I've learned dealing with elderly people, their attitude is everything. How you approach a person, how you don't approach a person, what you say and how you say it, it's all incorporated in your attitude. Don't let anybody control you like that. I heard the Bible says, whoever angers you controls you. I would say, don't let anybody control you and keep a right attitude. If I could have a ruler for Black America, that's what I would do, is attitude. Help us get our attitude right. And so we can learn how to handle every situation that we face with because we can't change people.
You can't.
Even when they're wrong, don't prove them right. Even when they're wrong, don't prove them right. That's my story.
Right. Now, I'm with you. You can't change people, but what you can do is change your circumstances and having to deal with these people.
That's it.
And I know that's one of the main messages that we try to get to our people using this platform, especially like if we're talking about in the terms of racism and things. It's not our job to try to convince white people to not be racist or to stop racism. It's our job to remove ourselves from situations to be harmed by it. It's our job to make sure that we do what we need to do for ourselves and we take care of our business. Because if we're not, then we don't really have too much room to complain about the situations that we're in because we're helping those situations to thrive. But once again, having people like yourself within our community will ultimately help us be able to get to where we need to go and take care of be able to be self-sufficient. Because if we don't take care of us, nobody else will. So definitely appreciate you. I thank you for being on this podcast. And you know what? Before we get to this final thing, when we get the information, we've got to give you a round of applause. For coming on and dropping those gems, giving that great information about our elders, our oral care. I'm about to go to Walmart, get me a water pick. The information about the tongue, the different diseases, dentures. You gave a wealth of knowledge, and we definitely feel honored to be able to have you on this podcast. So thank you. But before we let you go, once again, can you tell people how to get in contact with you to be able to get your services, your information?
Absolutely. Thank you. I wanted to encourage people to go to geriatrictoothfairy.com. Secondly, I would like to encourage people to visit my YouTube channel, Geriatric Tooth Fairy, especially about that tongue cleaning. You got to get those clean. And then my phone number is 904-803-3297. But the biggest way to contact me is geriatrictoothfairy.com. And if you don't mind, I would like to drop one more nugget. I am hosting a big conference February of 2020. It's called the National Mobile Dentistry Conference. And I'm inviting anybody who wants to get involved in mobile dentistry to come out. It's the first of its kind. It's going to be epic. It's going to be huge. And so that'll end up being posted on my Facebook page. People can join Geriatric Tooth Fairy Facebook page, and they can follow that. And we're going to have some free giveaway conference invites. So if anybody's interested, but please reach out to me if you have any questions about the tongue cleaning, about oral care. I don't mind answering any questions to help anybody, because that's one of my biggest things, to educate, motivate, and communicate the importance of oral care.
Yes, ma'am. We thank you once again. You are incredible. Your information is incredible. Your mission is incredible. And whatever we can do to help you out, please don't hesitate to reach out to me. We'll definitely be there to support you and to help you along your journey in any way that we possibly can. So,
and Joseph.
Yes, ma'am.
Brian told me to mention, don't forget, what did he say, this World Elder Abuse Day, June 15th.
Okay. June 15th. Okay.
Yeah. World, in Tallahassee. World. That's right there in Tallahassee. I'll be there.
Yes, ma'am. Okay. June 15th, World Elder Abuse Day. All right, I got to make sure I remember that so we can make sure we help promote it and help make sure more people know about it. World Elder Abuse Day, June 15th. Yes, ma'am.
Thank you for what you do, Joseph. Thank you for what you do. You keep doing it, young man, and I'm proud of you.
I appreciate you. Thank you. Thank you very much. And we stand on shoulders of people like yourself.
Yes, thank you, sir. Have an amazing day.
You do the same. Thank you.
Bye.
All right. The Geriatric Tooth Fairy. Man, y'all, go ahead and give it up for the Geriatric Tooth Fairy. Man, people are dying. So remember, geriatrictoothfairy.com. And if you don't know how to spell that, it's GERIATRICT. Hold on, let me say it again. Because it didn't sound right in my head. But GERIATRICT. Geriatric. Let me just spell geriatric first. I'm messing up over here, I know. GERIATRIC. Geriatric Tooth Fairy. So GERIATRICTOOTHFAIRY.com. GeriatricToothFairy.com. So, yes. What can you say, man? Sometimes some people just come through and they're ready and they're passionate about what they do. So, Miss Sonya Dunbar, make sure y'all learn more about her. Make sure y'all support Miss Sonya Dunbar. Hey, man, this is Joseph Ward. This is the Freedom Train podcast series. Make sure y'all visit us at www.freedomtrainradio.com. Make sure you follow us on Instagram at Freedom Train Network. Follow us on Twitter at Freedom Train Net, like our Freedom Train Network Facebook page. Remember, we're on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Radio Republic, Spotify, you name it. We out there. If it's a podcast platform, we own it. We out here doing it. I'm Joseph Ward. Shout out to Patrick Irvin. We put it down. Shout out to Enigma September. And two fingers in the air like a true player, because we just do not care. Peace.